We resume our work on the expropriation bill. A document has been circulated to members. The A-list. So we have all received this a little while ago, so I would like to propose that we give members the opportunity to read through the amendments that we had agreed to the last time that we met as members of parliament. Once we have had sufficient time to read through that, then we'll go through the bill clause by clause. We'll be led by the parliamentary legal advisor. And as we move along, we'd be able to table our comment as various political parties. So that's the process that we'll follow this morning. Members, will 15 or 20 minutes be sufficient for you to read through the paper? Baba Sultan?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We appreciate the opportunity that you have accorded us to go through the A-list, and I think we'll indicate once we're done. We still think that 20 minutes should be sufficient to do the reading and do the cross-checking. Thank you.
So if we agree to that, we'll commence on with the process 5 past 10. That will give us sufficient time. As we do that, there's tea and coffee outside. Apologies, Akona, you said there were some apologies. Let me just table those apologies. We have an apology from Honorable Dlamini, from the Economic Freedom Fighters. We have an apology also from Honorable Jafta. The party is the AIC. And Honorable Maciel from the ANC. Those are the apologies that we have. Whilst I read, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. I'm just checking how we are doing. Watch has not stopped. Shall we start, Honorable Treya? Members, just a reminder, the purpose of the readings that we have done now was just to ensure that the last time we met, the recommendations and changes that we made are indeed included in this A-list that's in front of us. So, if that's the case and we agree that all the issues that we raised at our previous meeting are included in the A-list, that enables us to deal with the B-list, the people in front of us, namely B4B-2015. if that's clear that our issues were captured in the A-list, then we can commence and go through the people clause by clause. And the parliamentary legal advisor would walk us through that clause by clause. On each clause, members would be given the opportunity for clarification, comment, or any other additions thereto. Shall we move? There's concurrence. Madam Parliamentary Legal Advisor, we may commence.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, Chairperson, can I start with rectifying an error that was made in the A list on page 4? Number 10. I'm just going to read the correction there. On page 10, in line, it's supposed to be line 41 instead of line 39.
You are referring to
the A list, Chairperson.
The A list?
Yes.
Page 4 of the A list?
Yes, Chairperson.
And there's a point 9. Are you referring to
10?
To 10. Okay.
Yes.
Are members clear with that?
In the A list, on number 10 of the A list, the actual A list, number 10, there's an error. Instead of saying, it reads on page 10 in line 39. That's how it reads. It's supposed to be in line 41, which is line 41 of the A bill. So there's an error in the numbering, in the line numbering.
Do all members have that, Honorable Dreyer? Do you have that, Honorable Dreyer? Okay. We may proceed, Madam.
Thank you. I'm going to take the committee through clause by clause of the expropriation bill as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. I'll start with the preamble. I'll start with the long title. Bill. To provide for the expropriation of property for a public purpose or in the public interest subject to just and equitable compensation and to provide for matters connected therewith.
Honorable Major.
Chairperson, I think the main purpose of this particular bill is to expropriate. I think just an equitable compensation can be taken out because it is in the provision of the Constitution. But we are focusing on the main purpose of this particular bill is to expropriate. It's not really to, this just and equitable is part of the Constitution. Maybe we can omit it because it's part of the Constitution. It is not the main aim of this bill, you know, to deal with the issue of the just and equitable. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Dreyer.
Mr. Chairman, I must say I'm completely opposed to the present the the proposal just made. I think subject to just and equitable compensation is a crucial component of this whole bill. In fact, large parts of the bill talk about how and when and amounts and how you agree or not agree about compensation. It forms a crucial part, and it's essential to stay there.
Thank you, honourable members. If I recall, although honourable Dlamini is not here, that was also his view from the EFF. Honourable Fultani, you want to?
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. I would comfortably associate myself with the views expressed by Honourable Dre. And we deliberated on this matter on a couple of occasions, and we found comfort in the in that as it is. Thanks, Chair.
Is it Honourable Adams or is it Honourable Matter?
No, Chair, we don't have a problem of it when it is there, but the understanding is that the provision of the compensation is part of the bill. So even if it is not there, it doesn't make any difference because it's part of the constitution. Also, there is a provision dealing with the compensation. So we're thinking that that compensation is covering everything rather than taking this just and equitable as the purpose of this bill. Because when this bill was enacted, it was not the purpose for that one. The purpose was the expropriation. But if the colleagues feel that they think that it's going to assist, let it be, Chair. But to me, there is a provision that is dealing with the compensation.
I'll start with Honourable Fultani and then revert to Honourable Treyer.
Thank you, Chair. If you refer to Clause 25, sub 25.5 of the Constitution, it reads thus: the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures. So where we have got to be specific, you know, to enable citizens to gain access to land on an equitable basis. So we are being compliant with the Constitution by passing this bill. Thank you.
The next was Honourable Dreyer.
Mr. Chair, I concur with my colleague here on my left, Member Fultani. I just wanted to say I was just getting a bit worried that coming from the ANC, they wanted to remove that because that thought or that proposal has been made by the EFF in a previous committee session. So I was worried about that, but I'm now covered, and if the member behind me agrees that we keep that in, that's fine.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I think what we are trying to do is to reach the best possible legislation. So it does not really matter whether it was enunciated first by the EFF or anybody else. What matters to me is the veracity of what we are seeking to do. At the end of the day, all of us must be able to say that we have done our best to craft the best possible legislation. Honourable Adams, I saw your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with my colleague on my left that we should omit that, as there's a whole chapter specifically on compensation and expropriation, on compensation. So I think we should take that out, as she alluded to. Thank you.
Madam Dreyer,
Mr. Chairman, I thought Member Matlope behind me made the proposal originally, but then stepped down from that position, said, no, okay, if members feel strongly, she'll accept that. Now Member Adams has proposed that we stick to the original proposal. No, am I correct? Am I wrong? I'm very happy if I'm wrong, then that's great. But just to make 100% clear, the clause subject to just and equitable compensation stays in. That is the long title, and it actually gives a summary of what this bill is all about. So it must be there.
Our proposal was based on the fact that there will be no way that there won't be just when we deal with the issue of compensation, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the country. If there is that provision on Section 5 of the Constitution, it means to say that automatically there will be just and equitable, you know. Not that we're saying that we don't want just and equitable. So I referred to the Constitution. I said the supreme law of the country is indicating that they should be just and equitable. So I was saying, because it is covered by the Constitution, I don't think we need to worry there, because we are talking about the purpose here. Purpose of expropriation bill. What is the purpose of the expropriation bill? What is the main purpose? Is it just to deal with the issue of just and equitable, or the purpose of it is to expropriate? I was talking based on that one, to say that we all agree on the issue of just and equitable, because it's part of Section 25 of the Constitution, which is a supreme law. Even if we can omit on this bill on the purpose, because it talks about the purpose. If you talk about the purpose, the time when you think about, you know, coming up with this bill, it was not to deal with the issue of the just and equitable, because it's there in the provision of the Constitution in Section 25. And there will be no law that will be enacted and going to contradict with the Constitution of the country. So it means to say, whatever bill or law we are coming with, also it must be in line with the Constitution. So the issue of just and equitable is part of the Constitution, and it's on the clause that is talking about the property. I was saying that it is a reputation, not to say that we are saying away with just and equitable. I was saying in this particular bill, because we'll get it in the Constitution, it will protect the resident, even if it is in the Constitution. That is the clarity, Chair, that I'm giving to the colleagues. We all agree with the just and equitable that it will be followed, because it's part of the Constitution. Thanks.
What you are referring to is under 25.3. Honourable Fultani.
Thank you, Chair. With all humility, I'll still refer to Section 25.5 of the Constitution, that we are empowered, in fact, we are instructed by the Constitution to make appropriate laws. We are not here to suppose, presume, and some presumptions may be rebuttable for that matter. We've got to be specific. The Constitution instructs the state to make the laws. And what we're dealing with here at this point in time is the definition of the bill, so that when you pick up the bill, it tells you what it's all about. And therefore, I fail to understand why we would want to exclude something in the definition of the bill. You pick up the bill, what is it about? Is the provision in the legislative system of South Africa, you know, for expropriation, with which is constitution compliant? When you read the definition, it tells you, so that you don't wander around when you're looking for appropriate legislation. So I don't see the point of beating around the bush or excluding something which is necessarily provided for by the bill. Thank you.
members.
Chairperson, I think maybe we can converge on this one, because we are taking it just on top there, but when you look at the bottom of it, all these equitable, you know, section 3, on the same, it says there on the top, it's talking about the purpose. What is the purpose of this bill? And then when you go under there, it said, whereas section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, provides as follows. So it's part of it. It talks about 25.1, no one may be deprived of a property except in terms of law of general application. Property may be expropriated only in terms of law of general application. And then it comes with A and B. And then 3, it talks about the amount of the compensation and the time and manner of payment must be just and equitable. So when you go deeper on it, that just and equitable is there. But the purpose, the difference is the purpose, because now it's clouded with so many things. The purpose must be clear to say, this is the purpose of this legislation. And then there it talks about this thing of equitable and just. To me, I was thinking that everything is there. The fear to say that the public will say, no, we are not going to get a just and so on. There is a provision in the same bill. It's there. They have quoted what is in the Constitution, section 25 of the Constitution, and put, as my colleague was talking about it, just and equitable. It's there. But when you talk about the purpose, we must not cloud the purpose. The purpose is not to deal with just, it's to expropriate. But when you implement that particular act, they must be just and equitable. It talks to the implementation now that when you go to it, deeper on it, you must consider that just and equitable. So that's why, honorable colleagues, one was raising that. We are not just against it because it's there, even in the bill and in the Constitution. But we wanted the purpose to be just clear to say this particular bill or this particular legislation is dealing with expropriation, but taking into consideration the provisions in the Constitution of the Republic.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure why my colleague here feels so adamant or so strongly that must be excluded from the name of the bill. Because when you look at the long name, it should give you an idea of what's in the bill and what it's about. And this is a crucial part of the bill. It's a very important part of the bill. And if you delete that section, the phrase, subject to just and equitable compensation, and it then just deals with expropriation, it could very easily create the wrong impression. I think we're not dealing with expropriation, full stop. We're dealing with expropriation and then crucially subject to just and equitable compensation. The one is part of the other one. We're not looking at expropriation just on its own. Expropriation must be accompanied and is accompanied in this proposed bill by just and equitable, and the name should reflect what the bill is all about. It should reflect the spirit and the content of the bill. So when you look at the name, it must tell you what the bill is all about. We feel very strongly it must stay as it is.
Honorable Dreyer, I'm sure the members of the ANC would also argue that the long title as it reads, with the phrase or section that they've excluded, to provide for the expropriation of property for public purpose or in the public interest, and to provide for matters connected therewith. So their view is that the issues that you are articulating are covered there. Honorable Fultan.
Thank you, Chair. I would further refer the committee to page 4 of the Constitution, the preamble itself to the Constitution. It says, we, The people of South Africa recognize the injustices of our past, and therefore we dare not pass an act without specifically referring to the purpose and to an extent the method of bringing back balance. It says recognize the injustices of our past. We can't just talk about expropriation without compensation if we try to define the bill. Otherwise any other bill would pass through. So the way this definition of the bill is structured is in compliance and it's in congruence, so to speak, with the spirit of the preamble of the Constitution. Why exclude? This makes us now, as opposition parties, at least for me, to be now extremely suspicious about the very purpose of bringing up this kind of bill. If right at the end we must get a member of the ruling party insisting that we exclude this, right at the end, we have had close on 10 deliberations and we never had a problem about this kind of definition of the bill. And now right at the end, it looks like there may be an instruction from somewhere to say it must not pass in its form. And this may very well change the purpose, the spirit of the debate as we come to this close-by-close state of the deliberations. It's worrying. Chair, thank you.
Honorable Fritani, we have been through a very long process. Public hearings, stakeholders, political parties raising their views. And we have moved along that process. There's nobody who has received any instruction from anywhere. Members are at liberty to articulate their views on the basis of what they believe should be correct in the long title of the bill. So there's nobody who has instructed me or anybody from the ANC in regard to this. This is what comes up from our membership here. If there was any instruction, it didn't come via me or anybody else that I know of. I'm not aware of that. So in regard to that, I'd like to assure you that we are here in order to refine this bill as best as we can. Honorable Trey.
Mr. Chairman, if we look at the bill, I would say that there are the five most important words or concepts of this bill is the words expropriation, property, public purpose, public interest, and compensation. If we have to single out five concepts, those are the five. And those five all appear up to the, semicolon, okay. If we have to delete anything in this long name, it should rather be and to provide for matters connected with, because that's not specific and it could be anything else. But the five most important concepts are all contained in the sentence up to compensation before the semicolon. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what the bill is all about.
I think all the words are important. To delete and to provide for matters connected therewith would not be correct. All bills have got that in order to cover any other eventuality that might have relevance to the bill. Honorable Matlo.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what is a fear from the colleagues, really. I really don't understand. Because this is just a purpose, but the section 25 as is has been inserted in this document. First, you know, talks about this purpose on the preamble. All these things that are saying compensation and so on are covered. We are talking about the purpose. You know, when we are talking about subject to just and equitable compensation, to me we are talking about the how part. How are you going to implement that expropriation? When you implement it, you must look at the principle of equitable and just, which is part, colleague. When you look at number 3, on the same bill, when you look where we are, it's there. It talks about the compensation and the time and the manner, just and equitable. It's there. What a fear now, because we are not going to be against the Constitution, and we are not going to defy the Constitution even during the implementation, because it's a how part, the issue of equitable and equitable and just, it's how part. How are you going to compensate people? So when you compensate people, you must consider Section 25(3) that is talking about the issue of the just and equitable. It's not something, and I don't think it's correct, colleague, when we raise our views in the meeting and we are told that we are sponsored. Really, I don't take that one, colleague. It's an insult, really. It means to say that as a member of the committee, I can't think and put my views forward. I think, Chair, I need my colleague to withdraw. We are not sponsored. We differ with what they are supporting, you know. But it's not that we have been sponsored. You know, to come to the committee and I'm told that I'm sponsored with you, I read and I put my own views with the issues. I don't think it's fair, colleague. We can differ, but we can't say that the views has been sponsored. Let us agree to disagree, but not to be told that we're sponsored with views. Colleague, I can't say to any member of the committee, because they are honorable members, I respect them, and I can't insult them. I think it's an insult to me if I'm told that when I'm making a proposal and I'm told that I'm sponsored. It means to say that when I come to this committee, I keep quiet until somebody tells me to say this. Really, I'm not comfortable with that, colleague, to say the views I was sponsored with it. I'm looking at the documentation. We got it now. We are looking at it. We are saying we see the reputation on the document of something that is repeated and repeated. You know, that's my view that I was saying. I even said that just an equitable compensation, we agree. But what I think on the purpose, it must not be reflected on the purpose, because this is not the purpose of this particular thing. It must appear on the bill itself to say that when we deal with the issue of the compensation, the issue of just and equitable must be there in the bill as it is appearing. I think the whole Section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic has been inserted here. But really, I'm very uncomfortable by saying that I've been sponsored views. I'm saying it now. Really, Chair, I'm really not comfortable.
Honourable Member, we all come from different political parties. What's important here is that ultimately you articulate the views of your party. Whether Honourable Fultani had a phone call last night from Honourable Olemisa is neither here nor there. He'll have to argue his case here, you see. So if he believes that he gets phone calls, I don't think it's a matter that needs to become the detour should become the journey. We have articulated this clearly, that members have the responsibility to articulate the views of the party. This is what we are doing. I would just at this stage like to welcome Honorable Kopani. I did hear that you were very ill, ma'am. Good to see you. And here to represent your party. You come as we are getting into the fray. Welcome. Ahel. Dreyer Fultani and Mekopani, then I would like us to move from this. I think we have spent enough time on this issue.
Can I go? Mr. Chair, I must confess I'm a bit perplexed by the strong views of Member Matlopi behind me about not having that specific phrase in the bill, because she then says it is in the bill and it's an important part of the bill, the just and equitable compensation I'm talking about. So she actually makes a very strong case for just and equitable compensation, so I don't understand why she doesn't want it to be reflected in the name of the bill. If it's an essential and integral part of the bill, why not have it in the name of the bill? So I'm a bit perplexed about that, because the long title of the bill is supposed to give a summary of what is in the bill. So if you just read the long title of the bill, you should have a fairly good idea of what it's all about. And the just and equitable compensation is a very integral part of it. But I just have to make a second point and adding on onto that, Mr. Chairman. You know, maybe for Member Matlopi, we are operating in an environment of low levels of trust from all sides. So, and the expropriation bill, let's be frank, is a contentious bill, and it's being watched by constituencies across the spectrum. Civil society organizations, everybody is watching this bill and how it's progressing. And people are jittery, and not just because of this one bill, but because of a range of other bills and all going together, dealing with the loss of private property or the possible loss of private property. So we have to see it in this whole thing, and I think it's very important that we stick to the long title as it is now to send out the correct message.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Fritani.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, when I referred to possible instruction from somewhere, I was referring to a situation which is pretty much standard, that members of Parliament, from time to time, they get instructions from their parties. We're not here in our personal capacity. We do get instructions from our political parties. That's standard. It may sound unpleasant at this point in time to the member concerned, but that is the standard practice. You know, I don't want to say procedure, but it's a standard practice. But if there's anything that hurts her, I can only say to her, I'm sorry that it hurts, but that is the practice. I didn't mean to hurt her, but that is practice. Secondly, if we take anything out of what I regard as the definition of the bill, it's going to lack its completeness. That is the definition itself. And this may hurt when it comes to interpreting, you know, the bill. Because this is what the courts will have to do, unravel, when cases come in front of it. They'll say, what did the bill seek to achieve? And if we leave this compensation element out of it, we will be hard hit. And ever so many times, our executive has complained that so many matters have to be referred to court when debate does not hit well with some parties in Parliament. And this may very well be a case for such, because somebody could very well say this bill is not completely compliant with the Constitution. We don't have to make presumptions about the Constitution. Let's state specifically what the bill is about. Why should we want to be half detailed and half presumptuous? Let's be specific about the purpose of the bill. And I rest my case there. There may be no need for further debate on this matter. I agree with you, Chair. That's.
Thank you. Honourable Mayor Kopani.
Chair, I'm covered. Thank you so much.
I propose that we flag this issue at this stage and agree that there's disagreement in regard to this. Shall we move to the next clause?
The preamble. Whereas Section 25... Am I audible? Oh, sorry. Whereas Section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 provides as follows. Property. 25.1. No one may be deprived of property except in terms of law of general application, and no law may permit arbitrary deprivation of property. Sub 2. Property may be expropriated only in terms of law of general application. A. For a public purpose or in the public interest. And B. Subject to compensation, the amount of which and the time and manner of payment of which have either been agreed to by those affected or decided or approved by a court. 3, the amount of the compensation and the time and manner of payment must be just and equitable, reflecting an equitable balance between the public interest and the interest of those affected, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including A, the current use of the property, B, the history of the acquisition and use of the property, C, the market value of the property, D, the extent of direct state investment and subsidy in the acquisition and beneficial capital improvement of the property, and E, the purpose of the expropriation. 4. For the purposes of this section, A, the public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's national resources, and B, property is not limited to land. 5. The state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources to foster conditions which enable citizens to gain access to land and on an equitable basis. 6. A person or community whose tenure of land is legally insecure as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices is entitled to the extent provided by an Act of Parliament, either to tenure which is legally secure or to comparable redress. 7. A person or community dispossessed of property after 19 June 1913 as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices is entitled to the extent provided by an Act of Parliament, either to restitution of that property or to equitable redress. 8. No provision of this section may impede the state from taking legislative and other measures to achieve land, water and related reform in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination, provided that any departure from the provisions of this section is in accordance with the provisions of Section 36, Subsection 1. 9. Parliament must enact legislation referred to in Subsection 6. And whereas Section 33(1) of the Constitution provides that everyone has a right to administrative action that is lawful, reasonable and procedural fair, and whereas Section 34 of the Constitution provides that everyone has the right to have any dispute that can be resolved by the application of law decided in a fair public hearing before a court, or, where appropriate, another independent and impartial tribunal or forum, and whereas uniformity across the nation is required in order to deal effectively with these matters, and in order to ensure expropriation does not take place arbitrarily and take place only for a public purpose or in the public interest, procedural norms and standards are set for organs of state and persons with powers to expropriate. Persons who are expropriated of unregistered rights and property are treated on a procedural fair basis, and a person whose right in property is expropriated is entitled to just and equitable compensation, be it therefore enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows.
Thank you, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Members, comment, agreement, disagreement, silence.
Honourable Mr. Chairman, this is an extract from the Constitution, which we all support. So that's just stating an obvious effect, so we agree with that. No further comment.
Honourable Matlop.
Yes, thanks, Honourable Chair. Yes, because it's coming from the Constitution, it's something that we all agree there is just an equitable on this preamble. It's there, it covers very well that there will be just and equitable in the implementation of this bill.
Thank you, members. We may move, Madam Legal Advisor.
Chairperson, through you, can I go skip the arrangement of the Act and go to the actual provisions, or you want me to read the arrangement of the Act? Arrangement of sections. I'm asking Chairperson, do you want me to go through the arrangement of sections or do you want me to go to the actual provisions?
I think we can skip those. There's a concurrence from members. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Page 5. Chapter 1, Definitions and Application of Act. Definitions. In this Act, unless the context indicates otherwise, claimant means a person who has lodged a claim for compensation within an expropriating authority arising from or in connection with an expropriation of property.
Thanks. Let's go, members. Honorable Fultani.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. I see the definition of claimant, but I just want us to cast our minds back to the day when we had the definition of the disputing party. How would the two correlate? Do we want to have claimant as, do we want to retain claimant, or do we want to use the definition of a disputing party? It's just a thought that has just crossed my mind as to how we relate the two. We may be talking about the same person, but defining that same person in different terms. Thank you, Chair.
Legal advice.
When you look, Chairperson, into the definition of claimant, it's in the beginning of the process, you are the claimant, but once you dispute the amount, that's why it's two different, it's the same person but two different people, because if you're not disputing the amount, you're just the claimant. So I think that's the difference. So it's up to the committee to differentiate between the two people, because at the stage where you're disputing, if you look into the definition, then you become a disputing person. So in the beginning, you are just a claimant. So that's the difference.
Honorable Fritani. Just a follow-up, maybe the same person, our state law advisor, could advise. How healthy is that, you know, to have a person approaching the court and then changing definitions midstream? How healthy is that, when you're referring to the same person? We all go to court as either juristic persons or natural persons. I accept that. But once you approach court, do we refer to you as a claimant up to a certain stage and then suddenly your name changes? How healthy is that?
Thank you. Honorable Fultani, I think for clarity, it is necessary to have the two definitions of claimant and disputing party. Because as the legal advisor correctly states, at one stage of the process, you might be a claimant. But as matters develop, then you are party to a dispute, a legal dispute. So that would be in order. Some years ago, you were a boy. Today, you are a man.
No, Chair, I think I'm covered the way you explained, because it's not compulsory that if you are a claimant, you will be a disputant. You know, you can be just a claimant and there will be no dispute. So both of them, I think claimant must remain, because it's not compulsory that when you claim, you dispute at the end.
There seems to be agreement. Shall we move?
Chairperson, just to add before moving, if you will agree, give me permission. Also, for purposes of interpretation, it's easier for the courts, because basically when you're drafting legislation, you need to be as clear as possible in your drafting, so that there are no issues of confusion or interpretation somehow. Thank you. Then I'll move to Constitution, means the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. Anything else? and I'll move to court. Court means A, a high court within whose area of jurisdiction a property is situated. B, a magistrate court within whose area of jurisdiction a property is situated, having competent jurisdiction and designated as such in terms of paragraph B2 in the definition of court in section 1, read with section 9A of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act of 2000, Act No. 3 of 2000. Or C, in the case of intangible property, the court within whose area of jurisdiction the owner of that property is ordinarily resident or has its principal place of business within the Republic.
Thank you. Welcome to the guests in the gallery. Honorable Fultani.
Thank you, Chair. Referring to what you call it, document A, proposed amendments to what has just been read and then later amended. B, a magistrate's court within whose area of jurisdiction fit the location of the property. Now, I know we're still going to tussle when it comes to defining or not defining property, but I think if you look at the definition of a high court and magistrate's court, within whose area of jurisdiction the property is situated. Now, somewhere in the bill we talk about unregistered interests. Now, if the property that is the subject of contestation is situated in the Free State, my unregistered interest in it, I now live in Gauteng. Which court will be appropriate to adjudicate in the matter? We're talking of an unregistered interest. That's just where I've got a bit of an issue or dilemma. It's unregistered. The property itself is in the Free State, but my unregistered, I live now in Gauteng. It's an unregistered interest. Which court would be appropriate to handle the case?
Legal advisor.
In terms of this chairperson, unless I'm not understanding the question, your court would be where the property is situated, according to this definition, unless I'm not understanding the question.
Thank you, Chair. As much as I got the kind of response that I more or less expected, can I be favored with reasons why that would be the case? Because we're talking about an unregistered interest. People nowadays cross country borders and have got interest, business interests in other countries. Where, I'm stretching it that far. And we do have, Section 75 and Section 76 enactments. And this becomes crucial in this case. I'm in another province. The interest is unregistered. Why must it be had by the court in whose area of jurisdiction the property itself is? Not the interest, not the property, my interest in it. Maybe I've got a business interest, not the property itself. I've got a business interest in that particular property. It's much less situated in the Free State, and I live in Gauteng. Thank you. And I'm claiming, I'm the one who is being expropriated. My unregistered interest is being expropriated, and I live in Gauteng.
Honorable Fultani, I'm not sure if I get you clear, but there's a general principle in law that a dispute or matter is heard where it originates. So even if I had to travel to the Free State and I have an interest in a matter in the Western Cape, I would have to travel to where the court sits, not the other way around, that I have an interest or in a matter and the court must follow me. Unless there's something that I'm missing, but that's a general principle in terms of the law. State law advisor, is there anybody else who would like to articulate a legal view? Honorable Frutani, the state law advisor has declined.
Actually, I agree with the parliamentary legal advisor, and the way that it is drafted is that the court within whose area of jurisdiction property is situated with that.
You are not audible. Yeah.
Sorry, Chair. No, I agree with the parliamentary state law advisor, Chair.
Shall we move, Frutani? Honorable.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. With all humility, I suggest, because her body language tells me that she's not cocksure of what she's saying, I suggest that she takes time to go through this. I'm not trying to drag the matter unnecessarily. I've got my own understanding of how the law, you know, operates when parties dispute something. Thank you. But if you feel that we should close it there, I will concede. My personal take is that, you know, it needs some further interrogation. Thanks.
Honorable Frutani, thanks. I'm not sure about your body language that you have observed. Mm-hmm. And I do know that the English language is very graphic, you being cocksure. So I think in terms of where disputes are normally heard, the general law applies there. Other aspects we can pursue, but that's what prevails presently, legally. Shall we move, good folks?
Date of expropriation means the date mentioned in the notice of expropriation, which date shall not be earlier than the date of service of such notice.
Honorable Treya.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, the date and the notice of expropriation. We can raise it here or we can raise it later when we deal with that more detail, that there should be sufficient time, obviously. We will make a proposal of not less than 90 days notice of to expropriate. So I just raise it here to make you aware that we will bring up and concern at that stage. I think it's fine to leave it now.
Thank you. Any other comment, input? Thank you. Let's move.
Deliver in relation to any document means to deliver by hand, facsimile, transmission, or post as contemplated in section 24, subsection 3 and subsection 4. Department means the Department of Public Works. Director General means the Director General of the Department.
Honorable Frutani, do you have a copy of the B4B-2015? That's the where we are presently.
Chair, I seem to be having a document which is different from that of Honorable Dreyer. It's the one I got from the secretary this morning. Maybe she could come to my rescue. I need to know exactly where we are. There's no dispute. I'm not disputing, but
Akona
need
go to the rescue.
Thank
you. And don't communicate with your body language.
Party means the data of disputing party includes an owner, holder of an unregistered right, expropriated owner or expropriated holder that does not accept the amount of compensation offered in terms of section 14 subsection 1.
Thank you.
Expropriating holder means a holder of an unregistered right in property which right has been expropriated by notice in terms of section 8 subsection 1 or in terms of section 9 subsection 1b.
Honorable Fratani.
I don't know if we are being accurate here when we say which has been expropriated. I know they were trying to define expropriated a holder. Shouldn't we be saying which is being, or are we talking about something that has already happened here? It's just a point of clarity. Thanks.
It's a matter of legal drafting. What do we say, good folks? Past tense, past continuous.
I have got that question in my mind is because of the use of the word holder. Because if you have been expropriated, you no longer hold anything. Perhaps we should say expropriated person, not holder, because holding has got a totally different connotation. You're no longer the holder of that property. Thank you.
The holder might be a person, or the holder might also be a legal person, juristic person rather.
Sections that the section that we're referring to when we're reading the meaning, maybe that's gonna make better sense for all of us. Perhaps is it necessary to do that?
What she's saying is that when we get to the relevant section, we'd be able to go into greater depth in its discussion. And then the appropriate meaning of expropriated holder will come to the fore, perhaps much better. So shall we move? Akona, it would seem that when we spoke about this process taking us up to lunchtime, we're very ambitious. It seems that you'll have to book for supper and a place to sleep here in Parliament for the next week or so, if we are going to get through this. Shall we move?
Expropriating authority means an organ of state or a person empowered by this act or any other legislation to acquire property through expropriation.
Yes, we can move.
Expropriation means the compulsory acquisition of property by an expropriating authority or an organ of state upon request to an expropriating authority, and expropriate has a corresponding meaning.
Agreed.
Holder of a right means the holder of an unregistered right in property.
Move.
Land parcel means land that has been surveyed and is either registered or yet to be registered in a deeds registry. Master means the master of the High Court. Minister means the minister responsible for public works. Notice of expropriation.
Looks like Mr. Fultani sent honorable.
Thank you, sir. My understanding is that we actually are referring to the department here, not public works generally, especially if you look at the definition of department, and therefore P and W perhaps should have been in capital letters.
Okay, sounds like a friendly amendment.
Yes, it's in that. Thank you. I remember. Notice of expropriation means a notice contemplated in Section 8. Organ of state means an organ of state as defined in Section 239 of the Constitution. Owner in relation to property or a registered right in property means the person in whose name such property or right is registered. And A, if the owner of any property or registered right in land is deceased, means the executor or his or her estate, and if no executor has been appointed or his or her appointment had lapsed, the master. B, if the estate of the owner of any property or registered right in land has been sequestrated, means the provisional or final trustee of his or her insolvent estate, as the case may be, or if no such appointment has been made, the master. C, if the owner of any land or registered right in property is a company that is being wound up, means the provisional or final liquidator of that company, or if no such appointment has been made, the master. D, if any property or registered right in property is vested in a liquidator or trustee in terms of any other law, means the liquidator or trustee. E, if the owner of any property or registered right in property is otherwise under a legal disability, means his or her representative by law.
Let's pause there. I'll start with Honorable Kopani and then Honorable Treya.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I also apologize for being late. Chair, my problem is with regard to the term legal disability. It raises many issues of interpretation. So I would propose or suggest that the word legal disability be, you know, be revisited so that it also state the state of impairment of the owner. What does that really mean? Because for me, it's such a broad term. If maybe you can get more clarity on that.
Honorable Dre, thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm largely covered. Maybe I could just add for further explanation, further clarity, an example. For example, a person who's ineligible to be a director under the Companies Act, for example, would he or she also, would that be a legal disability? Stay with that one example. So we just need to further clarify what we mean with legal disability.
Thank you, members. Comment. Legal disability, legal impairment.
Proposal that a legal disability should mean a person has a legal disability is required by law to act through a representative. That would, just to clarify what a legal disability means. A person who's required by law to act through a representative.
There's a suggestion. I saw three lawyers huddled together, all I hear is on the one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand, and all three of them have got two hands each. Honorable Matlop.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Maybe, Chair, because it's something that has been raised here, this I think the proposal to say legal disability be revisited, it's correct. They must go and look at it with the proposal raised by the colleague and maybe come back so that we can continue. Because they can't consult and come with something concrete now. Thanks.
Shall we flag that if there's a better refinement adding to the proposal made by Honorable Dreyer. Let's move.
Page 6. If any land or registered right in property has been attached in terms of an order of a court, means a sheriff or deputy sheriff, as the case may be. G, in the case of a public place, road or street under the control of a municipality, means that municipality. H, for the purposes of Section 5, includes the lawful occupier of the land concerned. And I, includes the authorized representative of the owner, which authorized representative is ordinarily resident in the Republic. Possession includes the exercise of a right.
Honourable member. Oh. Oh, yeah.
Prescribed means prescribed by regulation. Property means property contemplated in Section 25 of the Constitution.
Honourable Trey.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. G. I think property is the big one. We're going to have a lot of debate, and this is crucial to this whole thing, because what do you expropriate? Expropriate property. So what is property? That's crucial that we have a definition. Is it the clothes on your back? Is it your shares? Is it your interest? Is it your pension fund? Is it, what is it? Is it your investments? It could be anything. So it's simply far too wide, and it leaves far too much discretion to the expropriating authority. And I think the law, we make laws to create certainty, and it's important that this law also creates certainty. So we must definitely define it much more thoroughly and much more properly. And especially if we look on the previous page when we talked about the courts, the case of 1C, in the case of intangible property, the court whose area of jurisdiction and so on. So intangible property is included. So that could be copyright, that could be trademark, could it not, should it not be. So we must define property much closer and much more clearly.
Thank you, Member. Honorable Sultani.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, we need to refine this definition of property. It is the excess, as it were, of the whole act. Section 25 presupposes rightful or wrongful ownership of the property. That's the first thing. So when we just refer to it, we're taking the matter or basing the definition on a presumption. Secondly, Section 25 does not even refer to an unregistered interest in property. Subsection 7 of Section 25 only refers to property acquired after the 19th of June 1913, ignoring property acquired prior to that date. Does this mean that this act would not apply to properties acquired before 1913? That is very, very crucial. There would be a big loophole if we leave property and only define it by referring to Section 25. That is my biggest concern, because there are people in this country who have been holding on to property prior to 1913. And if we only refer to Section 25, it means their property can never be touched. They will correctly, constitutionally take exception. We need the department, this is another point, to actually furnish us with the definitions of the various courts, as the DM in our last engagement said that there are various definitions by various courts of this land, various definitions of property, so that we can go through them, and maybe when we go through that maze and mull over those definitions, we might be able to find an appropriate definition of property. I say appropriate as in the context of the bill we are handling here. So those are my reasons why we definitely have to define property. It is the excess of this act. Thanks.
I think as we move forward, we are at that stage. I would just like to remind us where is the responsibility of members of parliament to get stuck into this. So if we have ideas, for example, what we are dealing now, various political parties, what do we understand by property? Perhaps the next time if we meet, we need just to go through the entire remit of issues so that we can come up with proposals that will expedite our work here. This is what we understand as property, and then we can interrogate those views. That does not, I'm not saying that you are not at liberty also to ask the department to articulate its views in regard to these issues, but where we are right now, it's a matter for members of parliament, but we can still have recourse to inputs from the department if any party wishes to do so. You may have another rejoinder, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I think we'll take option one. We'll say, as members of parliament, we need a little bit of time to go back and come back with our own definition of property. Mm-hmm. We may very well differ, but there is a strong possibility. But we appreciate the fact that you are according us that opportunity. We will probably need more than just 2 days to do that. We need to dig down as we research in order to contextualize that definition. Thank you, sir. Shall we move then?
Public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources and other related reforms in order to redress the results of past racial discriminatory laws or practices.
Die Edel Agbar Dreyer.
Thank you, Mr. Voorzitter. Public interest. I propose that we say includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources, and stop there. That would then be exactly the same as the wording in the section 25 of the Constitution, and that we then delete and other related reforms in order to redress and the rest of that sentence.
We have heard the input from Honorable Dreyer, but I think this is the time that she's going to differ with Honorable Fultani, because when Honorable Fultani referred to matters prior to 1913, and now if you are going to exclude matters related to reforms in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination laws and practices, then you are taking that facility away. Honorable Madropa, Madam.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think, Honorable Chair, one will take this interpretation as is. As you correctly indicated, Chair, if we don't redress the result of the past racial discrimination laws and practices, it means to say that we are opting for status quo. I think there must be a provision when there is that particular challenge, and then the Act just incorporates it. We don't need to be really prescriptive, but we must have the provision, because there are issues that may not be covered here. But it is specific to say redress the result of the past racial discrimination laws and practices. We need to do that to transform this society.
I would also say that if memory serves me correctly, the property clause numbers 6 and 7 contains what Honorable Dreyer says that we should delete. And also if we go to 8. Honorable Fultani. Yes, Honourable Dre.
I just want to refer you to page 3, section 25 of the Constitution, clause 8, the top of page 3, which reads, "No provision of this section may impede the state from taking legislative and other measures to achieve land, water and related reform in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination." Okay, and the rest. So it's in there, but what we're talking about is public interest, which is different. We have to define a concept. So if we go with my proposal that the public interest will read exactly as in section 25 of the Constitution, and we delete the last part of that of the definition, it doesn't mean that we are against racial redress as it contained in the Constitution under subclause 8. But we're talking about public interest, and we just have to make that very clear.
I hear what you say, but the nub of your argument is the same that members of the ANC articulated in terms of the, not the preamble, the long title, to say that whilst it's not foregrounded, it's elsewhere. So you are arguing the same here. Honourable Matlopa.
Thanks, Chair. You took it from my mouth, because it's the same thing that you are saying, that is contained. I think this one must really remain there, because if we don't put it there, really, we'll never have that provision. And I think the colleague indicated that he understands, but the issue of trust, you know, is a problem.
She
said the issue of trust is a problem. That's why she wants it to be categorically written in all the clauses. But this one, Chair, I think it must remain here as is, because it will really assist. This is a big problem around the issue of the transformation, and also, you know, trying to transform the society and also the communities to see that we are really redressing this past racial discrimination laws and practices. And lastly, I will say that if there is a debate continuing, we must agree to disagree on this one. This is the position.
Honourable Treya.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to ask the previous speaker, through you then, and other related reforms, what does that mean? Can she provide examples or provide further clarity on what does that mean, and other related reforms? And maybe I shouldn't just direct the question to my colleague behind me, but also from the department, what does that mean, and other related reforms?
Before we cast the net wider, Honourable Fultan.
Thank you, Chair. I would hope that you expect me to respond to Honourable Dreyer's question and to contribute to that part of the deliberations. This is left pretty much to everybody's imagination, for starters, when we say related reforms. It can be a subject of dispute. It would be very difficult for one to go to a court of law and claim this. And as such, it doesn't constitute what I would call precise way of legislating. We might have to dispense with it, because it's rather difficult. It's too loose and fluid to define. It's very much subjective when you talk of related, you know, reforms in the context of this particular bill. And my take is that we should dispense with it. It's not going to be, it's going to be very, very difficult to enforce it. That's my take, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity.
Honourable Matlock, before I go to the input of counsel in the room.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. No, I think if you read it alone, just to say and other related reforms, it will really confuse. But here, I think it say related reforms in order to redress. The sentence is not finished. If you don't finish the sentence, you'll have a problem. In order to redress the results of the past racial discriminatory laws or practices. So I think if you read the whole sentence, it will give you to say you'll only act if we are only redressing the result of the past racial discrimination and practices. But if you read and you stop halfway, it's not going to give the meaning. I think if you read the whole, because you will only be redressing the past discriminatory laws. Okay. Come forward and say, I was discriminated by this law. This what happened to me, as Honorable Filtane was saying, to say the people that were raising, if we only look at the time that is put here, other people may be affected. So it's addressing what Honorable Filtane was saying, to say that, no, that one, if somebody comes forward and said I was discriminated with 1, 2, 3, and then this act must be also come into action also.
Honorable Treya.
Mr. Chairman, I've asked for specific examples to illustrate what is meant by related reforms. I haven't had that. I don't know who will be able to answer that question, but I'm very keen to get an answer to that.
You know, I've got B for B dash 2015. If we look at the first or the second page rather, under point 7, the very last point there, it reads, a person or community dispossessed of property after 19th June 1913 as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices is entitled to the extent provided by an Act of Parliament either to restitution of that property or to equitable redress.
But Mr. Chairman, now you're talking specifically about the nation's commitment to land reform, but then it goes further and they say, and other natural resources and other related reforms. So other related reforms then excludes land reform because it's been dealt with, and natural resources it's specifically mentioned. So over and above land reform and natural resources, there are still other related reforms. And I'd like to get an example of the other related reforms.
So in regard to other related reforms, if we looked at number 6, and then also it would also depend on each and every context. I don't think we'll be able to define each and every context and have a specific example. But as matters come in front of a court, the court will have to determine in regard to that specific issue. Deputy Minister, I saw your hand up, if you'd like to.
I think the members have realized I've been reluctant to intervene because it's now with the committee, but just to be helpful to the process, I think that we agree that and other related reforms, just that phrase, can come out. Because the purpose is to refer to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources in order to redress the results of past, etc., racial discriminatory practices and so on. And it's an attempt to paraphrase Section 8 as well as the earlier definition of public interest in Section 25 of the clause. So if it's helpful to the process, we agree that actually it's a bit clumsy to the words and other related reforms. So hopefully that's helpful to the process.
Parliamentary legal advisor.
I also agree with the deputy minister, Chairperson.
Okay, if that assists us, we drop that phrase at the end.
The actual words and other related reforms, which means public interest is going to read like this. Public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources in order to redress the results of past racial discriminatory laws or practices.
Thank you.
Public purpose includes any purposes connected with the administration of the provisions of any law by an organ of state.
I see no takers.
Registered means registered or recorded with a government office in which rights in respect of land, minerals, or any other property are registered or recorded for public record in terms of any law. Regulation means a regulation made in terms of Section 28. Service in relation to a notice means, as contemplated in Section 24, Subsection 1, to serve by delivery or tender, post publication, or in accordance with the direction of the court, and serve has a corresponding meaning. This Act includes the regulations. Unregistered right means a right in property, including a right to occupy or use land, which is recognized and protected by law, but is neither registered nor required to be registered. Valuer in relation to land means a person registered as a professional valuer or professional associated valuer in terms of Section 19 of the Property Valuers Profession Act 2000, Act No. 47 of 2000.
First up was Honourable Dreyer, followed by Honourable Futan.
The phrase in relation to land, that means there could be other property that's not land. And who will value that property? And then, that's the first point, and then the other one is it will be valued by professional by professional associated value in terms of so and so. What is the purpose then of the Office of the Valuer General? Where does he or she come in? And what role will the Office of Valuer General, why is there no specific reference to the Office of the Valuer General?
Thank you, Member. Honourable Fultani.
Thank you, Chair. Comfortable that Honourable Dreyer has covered me so far as the words in relation to land are exclusive in a sense of other, you know, valuation of other properties. So we need to have a relook at that. Thanks.
When you are ready. There was a reference to the Office of the Valuer General, and I think when we discussed it at an earlier period, if memory serves me well,
The reason given was that that office is still being set up. When it will be ready, or if it has, that process has begun, was not too clear. So perhaps there's more information there. Perhaps this is why it's not specifically referenced here. Legal advisors, state law advisor.
When this was drafted, and at the moment the act has been signed, and I think it has been last month it was put into effect, but there's the value general, as far as I know, hasn't been appointed yet, but I think we should maybe relook and just make sure that what the position is.
Deputy Minister.
All we're doing is defining value as is used in the bill. And certainly whether or not, and I think the Valuer General's office is in the process of being set up, that Valuer General is not going to do all valuations for the purpose of expropriation, and will call upon valuers as defined. That office will require, insofar as it's involved, will require valuers itself to call on the service of values as defined, as we're seeking to define them.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I understand that, accept it, but then still the, in relation to land, so we're talking about the valuer, whoever that will be, in relation to land. What about other property, copyright, for example, trademarks, my grandmother's jewellery that I inherited? Who will value that?
I don't think, Honourable Trey, it's correct to put up your grandmother's jewellery for auction. Legal advisors, parliamentary, madam.
I will just attempt to respond on this one, Chairperson. My understanding would be if as a person who deals with that example, the diamonds, the value of diamonds is a, I don't know the name, I don't have diamonds, so I don't know who they are, that specific person who values diamonds, I take it that is the person that's still going to value diamonds in this instance. So if we list everything, I don't think listing everything is going to assist. So if we're dealing with the specific property, then that specific value or values that kind of property, which is not limited to land, would value that specific right or that specific property. That would be my attempt to represent. Maybe somebody else can assist me.
Yes, madam. Go
back. Chairperson, I do hear what she's saying, but I would suggest that maybe somewhere, somehow, we need to have an inclusion that whoever evaluate anything, it might be a land or whatever, it must be an accredited entity. Maybe it must be included there. We shouldn't just leave it aside. Because during that time when people are going for the dispute, any person can come with different interpretation by that time. So let's rather be safe to say that whoever evaluates anything must be an accredited entity.
There's a proposal, suggestion. When you are ready. Honorable Fritani, I'm sure your body, not your body language, is telling you it's lunchtime now. ma'am, madam.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Yeah, maybe, Chair, the other challenge is the previous clause that we're looking at, the issue of the property and the definition. If we are saying that land alone excludes other properties, maybe we have to come back when we have determined the meaning or the definition of property.
Good folks, whilst we are mulling, I won't call it a conundrum that we have now in regard to land and property, I'm told that there's lunch has been placed outside the venue. So if I don't say that we must rise now, the reality is that passers-by will have lunch on your behalf. So I would like to propose that we break for lunch and then reconvene at 2. Madam Dre.
I have no objections to having lunch, Mr. Chairman. I support that. But just in terms of further process, they will also have on their agenda the Agrimark South Africa for this afternoon. Are we going to carry on with a bill, or are we going to do this, or both?
I would beg your indulgence that we do both. If the presenters of the Agrima presentation were Cape Town based, I would have said we can take them tomorrow and continue with this. But the likelihood is people have flown from outside Cape Town. So I would kindly request that we take Agrima at 2 o'clock, deal with it as expeditiously as possible, and then revert to the expropriation bill. Thank you, good folks.
We agree.